This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked, to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're going to be pulling up Chris Street here in a few short minutes. He's going to talk to us about, guess what? The big deal with New California and everybody else, and again, the 15th was yesterday. And they had to do certain things to qualify for the budget. They had to submit a budget. The legislature did a balanced budget. I don't know how they got balanced. And we'll ask Chris that. But the other big problem that they have is that we have now heard from our deep internal sources. We have now heard that they will not be able to make payroll. This is it told to me by somebody in very high places. And those of you understand some of our sources, I have some sources I've never met, and I don't even know their names. But you know, for whatever reason, they're helping with, and they're citizen journalists. You know, it's really kind of interesting to see some of the stuff. But anyway, so this is very reliable information that we deem very reliable information that they're not going to be able to make their payroll. And if they do make their payroll, then someone has given us some money that is not seen. Right, is not seen. That could be a whole wide range of things of people that are not seen, if you know what I mean. So you could, the only way I think they could do that is actually to deal with the cartels, the drug cartels. You know, Newsom does it all the time. So is Jerry Brown. They're all in on the cartels. Why would it be such a shocker that they would probably be in on it now? Can you help a brother out? I think that's the only place they could probably get financing for the state. That's something we don't want to see happen, though. Naturally. We do not want to see them going after cartel money and selling the whole state to the cartel. It's exactly what they want to do, though. That's exactly what this whole thing is, Gavin Newsom being a dictator. But as you're going to find out, he got smacked down last week the governor did, by a judge who I've had working relationship with before, which is really interesting. I find it absolutely amazing. But we're going to talk about that. Two assembly members in Northern California, what they did is they got together and they decided to sue to get a stop on the executive orders of Gavin Newsom stating that they wanted to stop the mail-in ballot business, an edict that he came up with. And, of course, that edict that he came up with was thrown out of court. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Right now we have Chris Street. And, Chris, I just told the audience that I had some very important information from an insider that said that there's a high probability, in fact, he was very definitive about the fact that they're not going to make payroll in California. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Paul, you know, we get a lot of points on doing this, in that 3 months ago I said California have about an $85 billion deficit, and then in May refi, all of a sudden it came out that the state of California agreed, and that $85 billion deficit is $54 billion next year, but it estimated somewhere in the range of around $31 billion this year. Now, we've been operating on limited information because the state of California does not is the only country, only nation in the United States that did not produce an audited financial statement this year. That should tell you that something's different, right, Paul?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And secondly, that the information I've been able to get shows that welfare payments are up 104% in California, whereas the state's income is down about 30%.
Jeez.
Now, this is a tricky number, just like defend the cops. You know, the idea is that the police are 4% of government spending nationwide and corrections are 3%. So 7% is a meaningful number, but, you know, that's far below welfare and some other stuff. But when you get to the general budgets of cities and in cities in America, police in Los Angeles were 53% of general fund spending. That means the money that local government can control. So the idea that you're going to fund, you know, you're spending $500 million on police and you're going to fund $150 million from the police in Los Angeles, figure out those numbers. This isn't about social justice. This is about taking money away from safety to make sure you give it to the systems that make sure you turn out your voters. So the real issue here is that most people understand that we are in a depression. I mean, that's all you can call it. The huge decline in GDP, it's kind of like having a war at the start. You got bombed, and needless to say, you have a depression. After a while, the system, you know, accommodates and ramps back up and comes back up. But the difference here is the inner cities are not coming back up. These are financial centers. These are service centers. And America's economy under, you know, the brilliance of Clinton and Obama and George Bush, you know, veered far away from production and far towards consumption. You know, somehow, you know, somebody who got a PhD was able to convince the world that it was okay for, you know, developing countries to be productive and developed countries to be consumptive. That has now been shown to be just silly, because the GDP has fallen dramatically across the world, and where it's falling is in consumption and services. So it's not clearly a lot of, you know, blue collar people have been laid off. But when you take a look at, you know, farms are still up and running, you know, general things that you need every day are up and running. Those things are actually responding to the coronavirus well. But when you take a look at all the service jobs out there, the restaurants, you know, the transportation, the rest of it, they're still down and they're going to stay down. So my take on all of this, Paul, is that we are entering the change that I've been talking about. You know, this is the sort of swing of the pendulum, goes way too far to one side, and then it starts to come back. We've already peaked on globalism. We actually peaked on globalism in around 2012, and we're coming back very, very fast. California was the winner in globalism, and of course, he who wins, you know, will later lose. I think Bob Dylan said that, right?
yeah.
But that was a pretty sage wisdom, you know, whether you're a Christian person, read the Bible, or a Muslim person, read the Quran, you know, or a Krishna person, read their text. You know, that same philosophy is there. When you go way too far in something, it's bound to expire.
Sure.
And then people respond and come back the other way.
You know, the Robert Reich
I actually know Bob Reich.
Yeah, he's the guy who was promoting all that during the Clinton era. And I can remember when he first rolled that out, and I thought to myself, this is back in the 90s. I said, what are going to happen to all these shop classes that, you know, as an educator? Because it was pretty obvious if we're going to move from consumption and then, you know, not build anything, that in the education world, that would all automatically lead to cuts for teachers who could teach shop and sections and so on. And, of course, right on cue, a year later, that was, I think, 92 or 93, we started seeing massive shutdown of shop programs throughout the nation, especially California.
Well, Paul, you've seen what the results of that is. The social devastation of, rural America is enormous, because many of those factory jobs were in the city. But the big ones, the big box factories that paid $35, $40 an hour, they were out along Highway 99 here for California and the interstates, because, you know, you needed big pieces of land, and it was a devastating social policy that probably felt good for Robert Reich, because I doubt he's ever gone out of Manhattan.
Yeah, he's too short to go out.
He wants more restaurants and, you know, more of what he wants. And people who live in that kind of bubble, you know, who don't get out much, you know, after a while, you know, they think everything else that somebody says,
yep,
is yaya.
Yep.
They've been right for a while. They must be experts.
Well, it's like Anthony Fauci, which is a very short man as well. He reminds me of, I mean, if you were to put up a video of the two of them side by side, you'd say, well, are they brothers? You know, but they're still preaching the same kind of dogma that the everything's okay with the state. The state is going to take care of you with COVID virus. The state will take care of you with this new consumption economy. And of course, none of that has been correct. But I don't know. I just draw that solution, that corollary, because I think it's kind of hysterical when I look at Robert Reich and then think about Anthony Fauci.
I can see by the way you pronounce his name, you're impressed.
Well, you know, it took 2 years of Latin.
28 million people did not die. That was the original, you know, the United States would lose 28 million people. I mean, the whole thing is just so silly. It's crazy. On the other hand, this is a serious issue. And the problem with serious issues is they actually happen. You know, it was America, you know. During the Ebola explosion, or I guess expected by pandemic, you know, the Obama administration shipped all of the ventilators to hospitals. They actually, the Bush administration entered into a contract to make portable ventilators. You know, ventilators are big industrial equipment right now. There's a portable one, and they funded it, and the Obama administration decided to change it. And then eventually agreed in 2012 for the company to be sold in Europe, and it's now a standard in Europe. So, you know, when Barack Obama says those jobs are never coming back,
he made
sure they wouldn't come back. In his world, that was dirty, disgusting. You know, social justice would tell you you would it's better to be a servant to Barack Obama than to have your own productive job.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how this is all working out. Now we're taking a long look at Obama, taking a long look at Clinton and Bush, and we can start connecting the dots as they basically got us completely wrapped up with the consumer economy, which is no good. And I think you guys, Peter Navarro and yourself, in the book Death by China, in the movie, I think you pointed this out very succinctly, didn't you?
Well, absolutely. We, you know, that book, that movie was from 2010, and we had it nailed. We knew exactly where it was going, and the pushback that was produced at from two professors at UC Irvine, that were at the UC Irvine Business School. And the most amazing thing is half of the graduate students at the UCI Business School were Chinese. So of all the 196 countries in the world, half of your foreign exchange students are Chinese. That tells you about the money was there, the bribe was paid. The Chinese, they were doing business that people wanted. People in power wanted that money, and the Chinese were more than happy to give it.
Guan Xi.
And in China, that's the standard way of business. China has very hard rules. They have taxes that are fairly high. But those taxes probably for corporations around 18%. But if you pay what's called the soft five to your consultant, you don't have any taxes. They just get to send you the bill.
Hmm.
So, you've got to put in perspective that many of the things that you've seen in the last 10 to 15, 20 years, they're like, candles that are burning out. They're flickering now because there's not enough wick and there's not enough, wax there. And the world is turning, actually, for the United States, it's turning in your favor. But don't think that people whose sole livelihood, was tied up with the relationship with China, with their consulting fees, with the rest of it. Let's face it, Biden's son takes bag of cash. Biden's brother takes bag of cash. I mean, this is pretty phenomenal, right, for a candidate who's running for president?
Yeah.
Big bag
of money for you.
And morally, he's not, and he is not, he's not morally conflicted by it, because in his world, this became the norm. He can morally handle it. He's not shamed by it. He lives a better life by it.
Well, and that includes people like Amy Klobuchar and of course, the late John McCain and others that were pandering to the Ukrainians, and also to the Chi-Coms, the Chinese. And, of course, now you've got this whole situation where China's economy is in complete upheaval. And now the TikTok is working against Gavin Newsom, because today's the 16th, and the 1st of July is going to come here. And the question is, are the payroll checks going to get there? They're going to get there. Are they funded?
Paul, they're definitely not funded. Right now, California, I believe, owes $17 billion. They're already borrowing money. So when you get to the first of the year, California's first the fiscal year, which is July 1 to June 30th. So that means through December 10th, which is the first property tax draw, California's got to figure out a game to have that money. Now, there's several ways you can get that money. One is you can borrow internally. And, internally, California has borrowing capacity of around $22 billion. That means they rob the Peters and the Pauls and all that. They go through all the trust accounts. They go through all the, reserve accounts and everything else. And they're allowed to borrow that money for up to 1 year. Unfortunately, they already borrowed 17, but that's another story. But that's not going to be enough because they already borrowed the money. They need somewhere in the range of $35 billion to $45 billion to make it to December 10th. Now, that assumes their economics that 90% of what we lost economically comes back. That could happen. That's happening some places around the United States. It's a lot slower in California. You take a look at the ports. The ports are still down substantially. The trade is down substantially. Take a look at Silicon Valley. They're doing pretty good right now because they get the best of all worlds in the coronavirus. And it's funny that they're major supporters of it, of course. But the worst thing that happened to Silicon Valley is, somebody comes up with a vaccine or a treatment or people are willing to take more risk because it wasn't risky to start with. All of those are working against Silicon Valley.
Well, and again, Silicon Valley's looking for an outlet also. They're looking to get out of California.
We'll see on that. I can tell you that a number of companies are the biggest in the technology world. The biggest thing is Taiwan Semiconductor is committed to building a fab, the first U.S. fab. And they went to California because, of course, they have a huge operation in research in San Jose.
Right.
And they're going to go to Scottsdale, Arizona, it looks like. And there's a lot of expertise in Arizona because Motorola used to have their fab there before they went to China and destroyed the company. But, you know, if the $12 billion fab goes into Scottsdale, Intel is going to have to build a fab in the U.S., and Micron's going to have to build more fab in the U.S. All of that is probably going to go to the same relative area. So California's managed to miss that cycle, in my opinion.
Well, that's going to mean that, I call it avoidance. These companies that are here now take a look at expanding and they go someplace else for obvious reasons because of California's over dependence on high taxes and over regulation. And of course, then there's the other parts of it where they extort people in the court system. But the bigger issue is that California economically is not going to get up off of its knees anytime soon. And in fact, let's say they do make the payroll, they get they got to have what 26 to 35 billion that's available in cash at this time.
Yep. As I said, $22 billion is available, but 17 is already borrowed.
Right, and again, what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have a whole bunch of budget categories based upon, you know, you've got the Department of Transportation, you've got education, and multiple levels of education. So what they're going to do is take funds that they already have stored up in, let's say, the rainy day fund. Everybody is supposed to have a rainy day fund by law, but they decreased that actually in education. And they said you're known as a reserve, but they said your reserve used to be 6%. It's down to 3%. They'll probably take it down to 1%. And then you have water districts. So they're going to make a raid, I suspect, for the $22 million. My question is that $22 million is not enough to get them to December 10th.
Well, billion, Paul.
But billion. Yeah, I'm saying billion. Sorry.
1,000 times more, yeah. But these numbers are so big that I'm really good at this, Paul. I mean, I'm a guy who sits around and, you know, reads journals, you know, from math. It's what I do. but it doesn't take a genius to do arithmetic. This is not algorithms. This is not differential equations. You know, this isn't ring theory. These are, you know, more challenging math. This is simple. Money comes in, money goes out, money's not coming in, and money's going out. Now, California's first answer to this is short checking the schools by $9 billion.
Got it. Yep.
So, you know, that's after also cutting payroll by 10%. No unions have agreed to that. You know, no union is going to agree to a 10% tax cut if you're going to miss payroll anyway.
Mm-hmm. Why would you?
And that's the problem is, you know, there's nothing here is real. You know, and Gavin Newsom has been able to pontificate away and spend money. I mean, the city of L.A. can cut, you know, the police force by a third. They have the power to do that. And, you know, they can take a knee. Let's see what happens, you know, 2 weeks after they cut it by a third and take a knee. I mean, as one person said, if you're a criminal in California, if criminal in the United States, you ought to get a U-Haul and move to Los Angeles.
Yeah, because you're not going to get. You can go out every day and make a $950 haul and never see a policeman arrest you or anything like that. It's just that amazing.
I'm just saying it's a business decision, right?
It's a business decision. That's right. If you're a criminal outside, come on to California. It's all good in the hood. You talk about no funding for policing. In fact, we got a break coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're talking to Chris Street, our economic expert for Agenda 21 Radio, and of course, for a New California State, newcaliforniastate.com. So we'll be right back.
Give it out! Hello, Cold War.
protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We have Chris Street with us. Chris, I got a text here, and the text indicates, says, "This discussion with Chris is very interesting. And can you ask him if California doesn't make payroll, what effect will it have outside cap? Outside California, I'm sorry."
Well, I think that they may write the checks and the banks will then discount the checks, I assume. You know, what's happened in the past is that the state has issued I forget what it's called, type of script.
Warrants,
right, warrants. And then those warrants have been discounted at 80%. The problem is that most people don't have the capacity to eat 80% as much food, you know, have 80% as much gas and make 80% as much, you know, mortgage payment. You know, this bakes down pretty fast. Most people spend what they make and, you know, try to have a little bit of savings, but it's just that. It's a little bit of savings.
Huh. Well, you know, the 80%, you know, we said that, or you said that, that because the governor, follow along here, guys, because, you know, I don't want to get it all confusing for you. But when the governor broke all this news suddenly, I think it was March 5th or something like that, March 4th, or May 4th. Anyway, he said that there's going to have to be a 10% cut across the board for everything in California, including educators, blah, 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 blah.
Payroll.
And so this is the effect of that. But, well, the effect is not exactly as he would explain. It's not a 10% cut. In other words, they will give warrants in lieu of a paycheck. They'll give you warrants, and the warrants will be worth 20% of its value. Isn't that correct?
Well, 80% of its value, Paul. They'll take a 20% haircut. But, you know, the problem with that is that they've already been short-checking the vendors. You know, so how long, you know, we have our calls, and if you're a new California person, you know, we've got small business and people that contract with the state and public employees and everybody else that realize, you know, the system, even if you're a longtime supporter of the state of California and you believe in government, you probably don't believe in getting short-checked yourself. And we've got a lot of vendors, and they're saying that it's, you know, it's been months now.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Especially things like the, you know, things like the CARES program that's supposed to give these bailouts for business people that kept their workers. You know, the state of California has delayed in delivering those checks now over 60 days. Now, by law, they have 90 days to do it. But they're coming up against a hard stop.
So
they're already behind. That part of that $22 billion is how far they are behind in paying.
Right.
So when I say people are going to get warrants, they're already going to get a 10% across-the-board cut plus the warrant discount. So, you know, let's add up the percentage. Doesn't that sound like about 30%?
Yeah. That's what I was getting at. Is it going to be an 80% cut for these people who get warrants? And again, I got warranted twice in my education career. I did not like it. It really was a huge inconvenience for at least 2 months. But this is going to actually be a longer time. But I was trying to clarify, are they going to get a warrant? Let's say if they're supposed to get 5,000 or 10,000 in a month, are they going to get a warrant that says, oh, you're only good for 8,000, or are they going to get a warrant that's only good for like 2,000?
If you get it, you'll get a warrant for the amount of what your check was, because there's legal issues associated with that.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it's going to be good.
The value, yeah, or good. Okay.
So at some point, you know, you're going to be the person who's going to have to find a way to get somebody on the other side to discount it, and that's the problem. Discount it means they'll give you money, and you give them the promise.
Right.
You know, and remember, these promises are not like, you know, a corporation that makes promises, and if they don't pay, you know, you can put them in bankruptcy and you go take their assets. It for government under the Constitution, you can't mortgage City Hall. So if, you know, Puerto Rico goes into bankruptcy, which it has, you know, for 2 years now, they just don't pay. You know, you just wait it out. You just wait. So I think that this will bake down pretty fast. And given the size of California spending, you know, it's the biggest California is the biggest corporation in the United States. Nobody's anywhere close.
So, like in my experience, what you described is exactly what happened to me. I got a paycheck. It was a warrant, and the warrant stated the amount of money that I was going to get, and I took it down. The word was out, you can go to the teacher's credit union, and they'll back it up. And, of course, I was waiting in line there, and I was seeing people not getting even 80% of what they thought at the time.
Right.
And I said to myself, you're not going to get even 80%. I was a young guy. I didn't quite get what was going on. And sure enough, I did get cash from the teacher's credit union, but that cash was only about, you know, maybe half of what the warrant was actually valued at.
Well, Paul, remember that story, Will You Love Me in the Morning?
Well, yeah.
It was morning and you didn't love me.
But the other problem is, now what if I just held on to that warrant and waited until there's cash value? But this is the other part. Some people will just hang on to the warrant, won't cash it out until they think is going to be 100% paid by the state. They're going to wait a long time, aren't they, if they have to wait it out?
Well, let me just give you a sense of what it was like in Puerto Rico, okay? Puerto Rico, the bonds of Puerto Rico, the utility bonds and things like that, traded into the teens. That means they were down 85%, and you know they a bunch of Sharpies bought them all, and you know they rallied up because you know you thought it, they'd come out of bankruptcy. Well, 2 years later, they're down where they bought them. You know, and these are the smart guys on Wall Street. Somebody paid 100 cents on the dollars for those bonds. You know, sharpshooters on Wall Street bought it for 15 cents, and you know they've lost time and money, and they're not sure they'll ever get anything back. You know, the state can just deny your claims in what's called Chapter 9. They just say, well, those bonds don't exist. So all of this, it isn't probable that California will just renege on all of its debt, but it's so complicated, it's not going to help regular people who need to make, you know, feed kids and, you know, have cars and, you know, go to work and live in houses or pay rent. I mean, these are not things that are really very, what's the word for it, negotiable?
Right.
I mean, you already had coronavirus, and, you know, that has allowed people to not make mortgage payments. That's during this depression. You know, you had your chance to do that. I mean, you know, thank God we had a pretty good economy. We had the best economy in three decades, and we were able to soldier through that. Now you're in another structure, and this structure is not just about, you know, coronavirus. That's the last thing it is. You know, maybe a third of this is coronavirus. Two-thirds of this is California was going this way anyway. You know, my projection had been that they will have a firestorm come September and October, which is the worst cash period, and they'll fail either this year or next year. I'm still staying to that, but the coronavirus just, you know, made it worse. But it's not what caused it. What caused this is, you know, a total betting on China, a total betting that you could close down factories and, you know, play all those games, you know, not build infrastructure. You know, the dam never went down, right?
Right.
So the dam comes. If the dam would have gone down and killed 200,000 people, that probably would have been a problem. But it was better off. You know, Jerry Brown. Somebody asked me on the call Wednesday. I think it was Sunday night. It was so stupid for Jerry Brown to, you know, to build the train. I said no, it wasn't, and that caused a big firestorm. I said he made a promise to spend $2.7 billion. And his good friend Barack Obama wired him $8.3 billion in cash the next day. That paid for half of the 2008-2010 financial crisis. You know, they then stopped paying schools and did some other stuff, and you know, and did some warrants, and they were able to get by. But it took them 8 years to pay off the money they borrowed to make the unemployment payments.
Now I'm listening to you say this, they're getting done.
They're borrowing money again. So the progressives have played this game, and you know, even some voters look around and go, "Well, I guess it works. Their economics works. I guess I was wrong." Well, okay. Now we'll find out. Now it's going to get tough.
Now, one of our callers also, this is their question. It says, if state workers are only paid 80%, won't that cause many in apartments to flee? It says,
That's 80% after a discount of 10%.
Okay.
It's 70%.
Okay.
I think you can see it already, you know, that the kids are coming home right now and from colleges, and they're moving in with their families or buddying up with friends. You know, the idea that you're going to have the same structure you had in the past, all these high-end apartment buildings that rent for $4,000 a month, is just insane. I think they're toast. You know, what's going to happen is people are getting down to the roots. I mean, some of the pandemic has been positive because people, you know what the fastest growing product in America has been in the last 4 months?
Face mask.
Baker's yeast.
Oh, is that right?
A whole generation has
learned how to make bread.
I mean, you learn to make bread after you learn to cook, right? I mean, some of these kids couldn't make an egg. You know, now they're like making food.
That's,
you know, and you get to baker's yeast. That's, you know, I made a meatloaf yesterday. You know, I enjoyed it. I could have done it better. I I use Panko. I probably won't do that in the future. But, you know, so I do, you learn these things when, you know, we would have gone out to a restaurant, right?
Right.
So I didn't put baker's yeast in there. I'm better than that.
Yeah, you're better than that. Well, brings up a very good point about the stay at home culture is surely getting ensconced. And are they prepared to come back and work now in real jobs? As we New California is going to be the job haven of the world for a long time. And as we get ramped up for New California, what type of employers or employees are we going to see as employers start to build up their businesses?
Well, Paul, we're going to have an infrastructure boom across the platform of non-coastal California. I mean, this has been the great graveyard. You know, for 30 years, you basically wiped out all the big box factories along the 99 freeway, and those $30, $35 an hour jobs have turned into baristas at $9. Family formation. If you've got the lowest child production in the history of the country for a damn good reason. I can't afford to have a family. Two people working can't afford to have a family. And as you've said, they're having trouble making rent. You start making three times as much money, your life is going to change. You can see it by the kids in schools, and I actually do economic surveys. And, the kids who are under 25 right now, they want nothing to do with their loser brother and sister who's living in the basement of their parents getting high every day. That's just not what their plan is. The 25 to 35 year olds, they want to go on experience. They want to go to a concert, drop X or do something like that. And the younger ones, they want spouse, dog, house, and the most powerful, the most fashionable item you can have in America today when you walk into a coffee shop for a woman is to have your arm on to be holding your husband's arm and be pushing a baby carriage. You watch right. Everybody in there just go, wow.
Yeah, you brought that up several months ago, maybe a year ago, and every time I don't go to the major coffee shop, but I go to the other ones, and that's what you see. It's that baby. We're having babies again.
Yeah, and these things go in cycles, Paul. It's about what people's focus is. Now I can understand that some of those millennials, they saw their parents get their house repossessed, right?
Yeah.
They saw cars get repossessed. So people do not understand that economics drives politics, not politics drives economics. It was the economics that sucked Donald Trump in to running for president.
Right.
Business choice because he could see it. Most people were foolish and didn't. He stepped in, and with what? With 1/9 the amount of money that Hillary Clinton had, and polls showing he was going to lose by 5 to 7% on election day, he won with 4% favorability. He had a substantial win in the Electoral College. I think 320 votes, 320 versus hers 190 something. This is a big win.
Well, we've seen this with. I want to go back to the polling numbers here because that's always a big concern. It's one of my most asked questions when I'm off air about the polling numbers and about the polls for Donald Trump, this, that, and the other. And of course, what people need to understand is that these polling numbers are just that. They're numbers that can be arranged just about any way you want to arrange them. I used to call it arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. But these polling numbers, I don't think can be taken seriously at this point, no matter what. And again, it's just like 2016. Those numbers were just beating them up, and Hillary was clearly the front runner. And, of course, it all turned to nothing for Hillary.
Well, let me tell you, Paul, how the game's played, because I've actually been in that business before. It's called push polls. I call you up and make a statement and ask you to respond to it, yes or no, right?
Right.
Would you vote for that misogynist Trump, who's raped women? You call a woman up and she goes, said Trump, a lot of women would lie and say they'd vote for whatever the female candidate is. But the way those polls were structured, you know, as they were trying to say a message. All those polls are paid for. I mean, it's not like somebody does it off the charity, right? So, you know, you can't rely on the polls because you can't rely on people, you know, being willing to be doxxed because of what they believe. I mean, you know, the media calls you up. Who trusts the media? I mean, the media is bought and paid for. I mean, it always has been, but, you know, it's dangerous. And so when you call women up and say, would you vote for that Trump? Or you call black people up and you say, will you vote for that Trump? You call Hispanic people, would you vote for that racist Trump? You know, they listen to the question and they go, they think about what it's going to mean if they say yes. And they say, of course not. No. And they get in the voting booth, click. That's why the idea that you can have mail-in ballots means the same people asking the question can take a look at your ballot when they pick it up.
Yeah, the loss of custody, which is what we tell people. You just can't be doing that.
But if I see your ballot when I pick it up and it has Trump on it, maybe I burn your house down tomorrow.
Yeah, or a Trump flag or an American flag sitting down in front of your house.
It's a secret ballot. Nobody else, America was the first place to have a secret ballot. You understand the rest of the world didn't want to have secret ballots. And in England, you didn't have a secret ballot. You had a guy right there, an official, and he'd watch you vote and he'd collect your vote. Maybe you didn't vote right. He wouldn't say anything, but, you know, they'd find you at your house and maybe you'd get in trouble. So what happened in England after you had voting is that basically each of the Lord, you know, which got membership in Parliament, would have one of his helpers there would control the polls and watch how you voted. And maybe if you voted wrong, you lost, you were working on the land, you got kicked off the land.
Right.
So the secret ballot was huge in the U.S. Revolution, Revolutionary War.
Well, yeah, that was, in fact, in the case of West Virginia, there was something that that was a problem at the time, mail-in secret ballots. And, of course, it was